Joseph Tikhonovich got hooked on breeding his own plants in his teens. Now he breeds commercially as well as in his garden. A couple of years ago, he heard me subtly mention how wonderful it would be to have a tomato of my very own. Well, he wrote and asked, could he name one after me? He was in the process of breeding a new tomato. Well, you can imagine how delighted I was when 22 little tomatoes arrived and I could pick a favorite. And then came the wait, a couple of years to stabilize the fruit. This year, infant plants arrived from Joseph. Each one of us who do the show grew one of them, a little competitively, I should add, and with mixed success. The tomatoes are ripe, and Joseph Tikhonovich joins us. Joseph, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be here, Lynn.
Well, you know, Joseph, we set up a contest. Everybody on the crew got a plant. Mm-hmm. I got three because my name's on it. And I've tasted the tomatoes everybody grew. Mm-hmm. And one of the most interesting things about this was, first of all, how each of us chose to grow our tomatoes, but secondly, how different they all are. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an instance, okay? Jen Russell planted her plant in the backyard, full sun, raised bed, and she used manure and fish heads and tails. and she said not a raccoon or a squirrel showed up.
Really?
Yeah. The plant grew to be 6 feet. It has 100 tomatoes on it. Mm-hmm. And she's harvesting 10 a day. And I've tasted, this was the very first tomato we tasted. It was incredible, an impact of meat and sugar and acid as soon as you bit into this thing. And it was about an inch and a half, 2 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jenny Lubke, our technical director, she used an earth box and she said, the fruits are splitting. She said that there are lobed ones, you know, almost looking like segments, as well as round ones.
Right.
And the lobed ones are particularly meaty and big, bursting flavor. And I'm seeing the same thing. Mine are splitting and cracking, but if I get to them when they're still firm, they taste great. And then the last tomato is Andy Cruz, and Andy's plant is tipping over from the weight of the tomatoes. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Why? And he's getting black tomatoes. Okay. Why all these variations in this tomato?
Well, part of that is that the variety itself still has some variability in it, just genetically. So, you know, each year I've been breeding this to stabilize it. So there's probably some genetic variation left in the seeds that you all got. But then environment can affect it too. So how much sun they're getting and also how much water they're getting can impact flavor a lot.
Okay, so if you're watering and keeping them generally moist, you're going to get kind of one kind of flavor? I guess what I want to know is what can I do with watering that'll impact my flavor and what'll I get?
The more water actually gives you a more mild flavor. So when you're seeing those fruits split, that's because lots of water is moving up the roots into that fruit, and that's diluting the flavor. So if you grow them on the dry side, the fruits aren't splitting because there's less water moving into the tomato, and the flavor is going to be more concentrated and more intense.
And then the black tomatoes, are they a throwback to one of those two tomatoes that you've actually mated to make this one?
Yeah, so black creme was one of the parents, and so that trait of the dark purpley flesh is from the black creme variety.
Okay, so now the next thing we want to know is we want to save the seeds because we want to plant these again. What's the best way to harvest those seeds and save them?
So the best way first is take the seeds from the most delicious plant. Of all the ones you had, whoever has the best fruit, that's the one you want to save seeds from because that's going to give you the best babies. And then you want to take the tomato and just squirt out the seeds, and then they're suspended in that slime kind of.
Right.
You want to put that in a cup of water, and you let that sit in water at room temperature for, 3 to 4 days, and it'll start to ferment, which will actually break down that slime.
Oh.
So then you can just pour off the water and then put those seeds on a sheet of paper so they can dry, and then you're good to go.
Should I freeze them, or should I keep them airtight, or keep them cold, or...
I store them in the refrigerator.
Okay.
You can freeze them, but they have to be really dry, or else they're actually damaged. By the freezing temperatures.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So refrigerator's best.
So next year when we plant this baby, we may get yet again some interesting variations on it, right?
Yes, probably a little bit still because this is kind of a a little bit of a work in progress.
I understand. No, but that's the exciting part. You don't know what you're going to get. Do you think the Lynn Rossetto Casper tomato will ever be available to the world?
You know, it could be potentially. I work at a nursery, but we don't grow vegetables. So if somebody was interested in producing it and releasing it commercially, it certainly could be. But
I think that's a lovely broad hint to the radio audience. Joseph, thank you for one of the most complimentary and one of the most exciting projects we've had. And we will keep you posted on what happens next.
You're so welcome. It's been so much fun.
Take care.
Bye.
Joseph Tykonovich is a plant breeder in Michigan. You want to create your very own tomato or bean or flower? Well, Joseph's written Plant Breeding for the Home Gardener, How to Create Unique Vegetables and Flowers. And to show off the last of the tomatoes right now, both the green and the red, try my Big Tomato Sweet Sour Salad. It's on the website, splendidtable.org.